Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is the Autodidactic Podcast, Episode 4, Season 1. If you're new to the podcast, I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for coming along. If you want to listen to previous episodes of the show, you can find the show and the show notes on the autodidactic.info website. The Autodidactic Podcast is a podcast to help self-learners try and become more efficient and more effective in the way that they learn and how they proceed. You don't have to listen to all of the podcasts, but I would recommend that if you hear something you don't understand that is a reference to a previous show, you should probably go back and listen. On today's show, we'll discuss gathering resources for your self-study sessions. The resources we're going to talk about today run the gamut from physical to electronic, from free to paid, and everything in between. We'll start the show with paid resources and work our way through to the places where you can get free resources at the end of the show. As always, I'd like to solicit feedback and suggestions from my show from listeners. So if you would like to give feedback to the show, you can feel free to email me at rick@autodidactic.info, where I'm happy to take your suggestions. It's been a busy week for me this week. As I'm recording the show, I've managed to overwhelm myself with resources, and I'm struggling to make my way through them all. I got a large number of SRS cards, or spaced repetition cards, to get through, and it's becoming a bit of a torture session to get through all 400 or 500 cards a day. However, hopefully by the end of the show, you will have gained some insight about where to get yourself some resources for your study times, and you might have the dubious pleasure of having too many resources as well. I've got a large number of dead tree format books to read, and a lot of electronic books as well, so I'm attempting to improve my memory and recall some of the memory methods in use today, such as memory palaces or the Dominique method, etc. Just for fun, I had a go at memorizing pi to 50 decimal points, and honestly, it was very easy. But unless you continue to hone and test yourself, I think you'd rapidly forget some of the things you learn using these systems. In a later show, I'll discuss some of the various methods for memorization. So let's get on with today's show. Today, we're going to talk about where to get resources for your study. I'll put links in the show notes to any place I mention on the internet in today's show. Let's begin with paid resources. Now, as the name would suggest, these are resources for which you have to pay money. These include things like purchasing books, paying for a tutor, paying for a class, paying for a subscription to an online training course, etc. Now, depending on what your topic of study is, you may have a wide variety of paid resources which you can use. And generally, these types of resources are going to be very high quality, simply because people have an expectation of the quality when they're paying. Let's look at some of the resources available to you today. The first, and probably the largest, is Amazon, followed by Abe Books. Now, Abe Books, A-B-E Books, if you've never heard of them before, sell used books over the internet. Then there's worldofbooks.com, and cheapesttextbooks.com, and finally eBay. These are just some places on the internet where you can purchase textbooks. Although Abe Books sell mostly used books, they do delivery around the world. And with Amazon, you have access not only to textbooks, to workbooks, sample tests, and many other study items. So purchasing resources is pretty straightforward and shouldn't really be difficult for anyone to do, assuming you have the money. Additional resources which might include online tutoring. So, for example, if you're learning a language, you can go to italki.com and schedule lessons with teachers or tutors in a language that you want to learn. A number of websites have sprung up in recent years on the internet where you can get video instruction. Probably the largest of these is udemy.com. But there are many others, including Pluralsight, if you're interested in programming languages, and various others. In addition to paid sites, there are sites which are technically free but have some payments. Now, these types of sites generally tend to be exchange sites, which are technically free, but you're paying for postage. In the UK, I use a website called readitswapit.co.uk, where you can put in a list of books that you no longer want, and you can swap these books for books that other people no longer want. On the website, you agree to do an exchange, and then you post each other the books that you've selected. Now, the service itself is free, however, you're paying for the postage of sending your books to the other person. In addition to paid and semi-free paid resources, there are a number of resources that are absolutely free. Now, I suspect that most of my listeners are going to be interested in this category of resources. Because if you're anything like me, you struggle to find money for everything you need and want to do. So this means we need to be very frugal in our approach to becoming autodidactic. One of the very first free resources I would like to discuss is available to just about everybody in a first world country as well as a number of other countries, and this is your local library. If you have the ability to go to a local library, you should take the opportunity to join, support, and use your local library. If there's a library system in your country, this is going to be one of the best free resources you're ever going to find for self-education. For example, the reason I'm currently having this overabundance of resource is because I overbooked checkouts at my local library. I'm very privileged in that my local library allows me to browse their collection online, reserve the book online, and have it delivered to my local library from any other branch in the same system. So although my local library is very small, probably the same size as most people's living rooms, I have access to dozens of other libraries. In addition to books, videos, and audio materials, my local library also gives me access to internet databases, language courses, and other online subscriptions that I can use for free via my library card. So it's well worth a visit to your local library to find out what is available to you. The next free resource I'd like to discuss is the internet, and while I realize that we're all paying for access to the internet, most of the resources I'm going to discuss are available for download for free. So ignoring the cost of the actual internet connection, let's talk about these resources. There are a number of organizations and people who release textbooks under a Creative Commons or public domain license. And you can download a number of these directly from the sites. An internet search will provide you with a number of other sites, but I'll give you these three honorable mentions that I use the most. people.math.gatech.edu. And then the next one is openculture.com/free_textbooks. And the next one is open.umn.edu/open textbooks. The last website has a large number of textbooks available for humanities, business, computer science, law, mathematics, social sciences, and education. Because these textbooks are published under a share-alike license, then you'll be able to get this information for free. And these are actually high-quality textbooks written and used by universities, but published on the internet for free. And the final thing I'd like to discuss is MOOCs. MOOCs, which stands for Massive Open Online Courses. These courses are generally available to everyone, and anyone who has access to the web and a computer meets the basic requirements for enrollment, as there's no physical classroom and there's no limit on the size of students. They're generally free, however, some providers do charge a small fee, normally in exchange for a certificate of completion or other non-degree credit. Some do offer academic credit courses, but the student normally has to be formally enrolled in the institution that gives the class to receive that course credit. Now, given that the online classes mean that anyone can sign up, the coursework is generally self-paced so that you can dive in at your own pace and at your own time. Unless the class is a scheduled event, in which case you'll have to sign up to get some sort of grading or credit, then there'll typically be an exam or a rough schedule for completion. One of the major providers is Coursera, but a great place to find a comprehensive listing is MOOC.org, MOOC.org, which has a searchable database, or Open Culture, website, which maintains a very long list. Although there is no requirement for you to take a prerequisite course for any of these courses you want to join, you may want to review the prerequisites before you jump in. This is because you may need some basic level of knowledge that you may or may not have and might need to take a prerequisite course first. So if you're interested in doing one of these courses, some things to do are first to figure out if you're taking it for a certificate of completion or other grade, in which case you're going to need to look for some very specific courses. Look and see if there's a prerequisite required, and then confirm any technical requirements. Now, normally technical requirements is just access to a web browser, but in some courses you may need specialist software in order to access or view the materials, like a PDF reader. And while most computers have the ability or the necessary software, some computers on older operating systems may not be able to manage. You'll need to register with the course provider, and typically this is just a name and email address, but it may ask you for an academic history or relevant work experience. And if applicable, you may need to pay a fee to the relevant academic institution if this course is a 4-credit. And when you sign up, you definitely need to check out the course overview of the platform and the course requirements before the course actually starts. Otherwise, you may find yourself falling behind during the course. And many of these courses have forum discussions, and you'll find it very useful to participate in these discussions in order to get the most out of the materials. Okay, everyone, that's it for today, and I hope you found this information useful and that you'll be able to find all the resources you'll need for your own self-study. Once again, if you have any comments or feedback, please feel free to email me at rick@autodidactic.info. You can also leave comments on the website about the resources that you found or that I didn't mention that you would like to be discussed in a later show. So thanks again for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time. In the next podcast, I'll be discussing flashcard creation and using the stolen moments of time in your day in order to help you progress with your learning. I will make some recommendations about spaced repetition software, but mainly I'm going to focus on how to create useful flashcards, whether they are paper or electronic.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.